Lee Morgan, and this is the Taylor Report, CIT 89.5 FM, and Phil Connon is here, and we're going to be speaking shortly to Zafar Bengash. To set the stage on that, I'll just say this war is getting a little somewhat closer to either a new phase or a conclusion, certainly a conclusion in the type of war we've been seeing, because ISIS, frankly, is losing. And the big decision to be made in Washington, and the big decision to be made in Britain and France, but mostly Washington and in Saudi Arabia, is do you throw good money after bad? Because they paid for this war. They paid for the killers. And there are people in this town don't know that, but I'm just telling them. I'm sorry, they don't know that. And a lot of powers have played dirty roles. Canada's played a dirty role because it uses sanctions and removal of recognition of the Syrian government, which is much more devastating than anything ISIS is capable of doing. When you deny someone their national identity and their sovereignty, you have really struck a blow against them. But we're joined now by Zafar Bengash. Are you there, Zafar?
Hello, Phil. Yes, I am.
You're very kind to join us, Zafar. I know you're a busy man, and people should know it's crescent-online.net.
That is correct, yes.
So if they're at all confused by anything we say, they'll get it. Just go to your site. Zafar, there is a ticklish issue developing. The Syrian army is advancing in the northwest towards this all-important place called the Gate. And Turkey has been talking as though it might want to secure that area itself. And now the President of the United States is being quoted as saying that he's in favor of a secure area. And I believe he indicated in that region. One last detail about setting this up. He has been negotiating with Russia about ending the war in Syria, so we're told. Certainly the government of Turkey has been negotiating with the government of Russia and Iran to end the fighting. But if Mr. Trump now says that he'd like to have a safe area, that sounds more like a train wreck than a policy. What do you think is unfolding there?
Well, one of the difficulties with whatever Donald Trump says or does is that, number one, he's completely erratic. He says one thing one day and something totally different than the other day. But even more dangerous than that is this whole notion that somehow he's going to set up safe zones in Syria, as he calls them. I think they are going to be very unsafe zones, the most dangerous areas over there. Besides, the Syrian government has categorically stated that any move by any outside forces have to be with the permission and cooperation of the Syrian government. And we do not get any of that coming through from the statements that Trump has made. In other words, Trump has indicated, and of course his the Pentagon, the Defense Department, that they are going to unilaterally go there and set up safe zones in order to protect the Syrian civilians. Now, who are they going to protect these Syrian civilians from? We can judge very easily. It is not from the terrorists, ISIL or ISIS or Daesh, the different names that these terrorists use. The clear implication is that Trump is planning to protect these civilians from the advancing Syrian army. There are a number of problems with that. Number one, the Syrian army is not targeting the civilians, as we saw in Aleppo when it was liberated in December, that the overwhelming majority of the civilian population was heading towards Syrian government-controlled areas rather than the other way around. And the only people that did not go there were basically family members of the terrorists that went to Idlib province. Now, currently, you mentioned this town called Al-Bab, or translated as the Gate. Basically, this is the gate to Turkey. because it's right on the border with Turkey, and mm-hmm. Turkey has its forces over there. But again, it's very problematic because Turkey, unfortunately, is trying to occupy that area, secure that area, without the permission of the Syrian government. Turkish tanks are there, armored personnel carriers are there, again, in violation of Syria's sovereignty and without the permission of the Syrian government. Now, you mentioned that Turkey has been in negotiations with Russia and Iran. That is in the sense that, you know, the talks that took place in Astana, the Kazakhstan capital, in December, and then, of course, in January, and then we have we had the next round of talks taking place earlier last week, which was aimed at working out or bringing the two sides closer together. And the two sides are the representatives of the Syrian government as well as some of the rebel groups that have agreed to give up the fighting. But these rebel groups are not part of Al-Qaeda or ISIS or ISIL. So in that sense, it is a good move because the Syrian government is trying to win over as many people as possible from among the rebels to get them to stop fighting, and that there will be total amnesty granted to them, which mm-hmm. the Syrian government has upheld, despite the fact that there are some people within the Syrian army as well as the Syrian government that are not happy with this very magnanimous offer that the Syrian government has made to these rebel groups. Mm-hmm. But I personally believe that the Syrian government is acting very sensibly because they're looking ahead.
Yes.
They want to see the end to all of this fighting, and then naturally there has to be some reconciliation even with the people that were fighting against the government previously. Mm-hmm. Naturally, there will be some that would be totally hardcore, unwilling to give up fighting, unwilling to reconcile on making these ridiculous demands that President Bashar al-Assad must go. In other words, mm-hmm. they would demand that the Syrian government be offered to them on a plate, which mm-hmm. will not happen. They have not been able to overthrow the Syrian government. They have not been able to defeat the Syrian army. And the Syrian government and establishment have held together, and they are making steady, even if slow, progress. Mm-hmm. So this whole notion, now we come back to the original question of Trump asking to or planning to set up safe zones, that is going to actually escalate the conflict over there. There are also reports, although publicly denied by the Pentagon, but I wouldn't discount that the U.S. is also thinking of sending some ground forces to Syria. Now, that
yes.
does not sound like a safe zone idea to me. It is
yes.
basically an illegal invasion of another sovereign country in the Middle East. So whatever
yes.
Trump is thinking about is not really going to create any safety or security. It's
yes.
going to destabilize the region further.
Yeah. This is Zafar Bengash, crescent-online.net. And Zafar, do you notice, as you talk about this, we're now seem to be entering what used to television called the Twilight Zone, because there is question of whether or not the Pentagon is trying to commit Trump to something he maybe doesn't want to be committed to. Same applies to Mr. Erdogan. There's the issue of what is this thing that now talked about publicly more almost every day called the deep state.
Yes.
Where these army leaders and intelligence leaders have little plans of their own, and apparently, in case the CIA, we're being told they don't have to ask the president.
Yes, I think this is the curious situation that has emerged in the United States, that the Pentagon is basically pushing Trump in a direction that obviously the Pentagon or the generals think would serve their interests. Regrettably, in the United States, there is a body of opinion that believes in perpetual wars. And of course, that's also the body of opinion that is pushing for not...
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I could let you chew on this word, exceptionalism. If you're an exceptional state, that's war. Isn't it?
Exactly.
I mean, you don't have to ask anybody's permission for anything.
Exactly. And of course, you know, that means that... You don't have to care about other countries' sovereignty or territorial integrity. You decide what you think is best for them, and you decide who should be their leader, who should really rule in that country, what kind of a system they should have, and if this deep state does not like a particular ruler in a particular country, then they say, okay, we're going to go and overthrow him and replace him by somebody that they like. Mm-hmm. So this is the kind of a situation that has that is evolving in Syria. But my own understanding of this situation is that the U.S. will not succeed, primarily because, as I mentioned earlier, the Syrian army has not disintegrated. In fact, it has done exceptionally well under very, very difficult circumstances.
Yes.
Secondly, there has been solid support from Russia, from Iran, from Hezbollah, and these friends of Syria, genuine friends, not the phony friends, the Friends of Syria group that the West has established, which in fact consists of its own puppets, but the friends of the Syrian people as well as the Syrian government, the legitimate Syrian government, incidentally, that these friends have not backed out. They have stood solidly behind a unified Syria, a sovereign Syria, and they've been able to turn the tide of this horrible war that has been imposed on Syria since the beginning of 2011. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's been raging for 6 years. Hundreds of thousands of people have been killed. Millions of people have been turned into refugees. And
yes.
But now I think the situation is moving in a direction whereby even if the war does not come to an end quickly, that the real terrorists can probably be bottled up in a small area. And even if they are not eliminated completely, I think their mischief can be contained. So I think that is a hopeful sign, as we know that at the end of this month or very soon, negotiations are going to start in Geneva as well under UN auspices, for which the groundwork has already been prepared during the two rounds of talks in Astana, the Kazakh capital. And we hope that they can make some progress in terms of working out the modalities of a new constitution, and they move forward as to how they are going to accommodate some of the rebel groups. Of course, with the proviso that there should be no demands that President Bashar al-Assad should resign. That has to be decided by the Syrian people in an election, free and fair election, that would be handled, see, rather than making demands from the outside.
And you're putting your finger on a new issue that is emerging. Qatar apparently has now publicly said they agree with that.
Yes, of course, a number of countries have
not
come
around. Not Saudi Arabia.
Well, Saudi Arabia is the one sort of, you know, troublemaker. Incidentally, I want to mention this about Saudi Arabia, that, you know, Trump named seven countries whose citizens he wanted to ban from entering the United States. And the reason why he wanted to do that was because he alleged that the citizens of these countries may be involved in terrorist activities. In fact, what has happened is that the one country that we know, without any doubt, and this has been proved by, you know, statements issued by the former U.S. Vice President Joe Biden, the former U.S. Secretary of State, and the Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, that they admitted that their own friends in the Middle East were responsible for sponsoring these terrorists. And Biden went so far as to name the three countries that were backing the terrorists: Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Turkey. And yet we know on February the 11th that the new CIA director, Mike Pompeo, went to Saudi Arabia, and he conferred one of the highest CIA medals on the Saudi Crown Prince and Interior Minister for what? For fighting terrorism. I mean, it must be really a very...
There's actually a picture of that.
These people must
you
have
did
very...
say Clown Prince.
Exactly.
Yes.
These people must have a very sick sense of humor that they would go and give a medal called the George Tenet Medal, named after a former CIA director who was responsible for a whole lot of terrible things. He was the CIA director from 1997 to 2004.
So he was in on all the Iraq stuff.
Absolutely. He was the one who basically misled even Colin Powell, telling him about this
Yes.
You know, yellow.
Oh, he's Mr. Slam Dunk.
Absolutely, exactly.
He's the one who said, can we prove this nuclear weapons? And he said, it is a slam dunk.
Exactly, exactly.
Well, there's the guy you want to name the prize after.
That's right, yes. but I mean, you know, the amazing thing is that, you know, the CIA and others think that perhaps the rest of the world has such short memory that they wouldn't know that Saudi Arabia is actually a factory for terrorists. You know, we have documents in our hand, and we publish them in the Crescent International and on our website, in which the Interior Ministry, one of the high officials in the Interior Ministry, had sent a letter to the head of Saudi prisons telling them that they should release all of the murderers and rapists that are in Saudi prisons and have an agreement with them that they would be sent to Syria to go and fight against the Syrian government, to overthrow the Syrian government, and that these rapists and murderers would have their sentences commuted, and that their families would be looked after in Saudi Arabia. There are documents available. And these are the guys that the CIA is now honoring and giving them medals and so on for fighting terrorism. I mean, somebody had mentioned that it's just like giving a medal to the head of mafia for fighting corruption and crime.
Yes.
And that's what these people are up to.
It is such a shocking thing. Zephyr, on that point too about the upcoming talks, once again, the so-called opposition that Hillary Clinton and Obama put together, and then Bush, pardon me, and now Trump works with now as well, the Friends of Syria, and the recognized opposition, they have been changing leaders like it's a game called musical chairs. And my understanding is they have a new leader, and once again, though, he's coming from Saudi Arabia.
Yes. You see, what is happening is that all of these people are, unfortunately, they're, as you said, it's just like the musical chair. You know, one of the well-known tribal leaders in Syria, last month, he actually gave an interview in which he revealed that most of these so-called political opposition in Syria are all on the Saudi payroll. And he even mentioned that one of them had actually pilfered $60 million, that's $60 million of money that the Saudi regime had given to these various groups. And he went and he set up another political party in some other country. So he took, I mean, he was supposed to be the leader of this Syrian opposition group.
But he was busy that day.
Exactly. And there are others that have taken, the new leaders went to Saudi Arabia to complain to the former Saudi foreign minister, Saud al-Faisal, who died in 2014. And they went to him and they said that, look, there is this question of $146 million that this particular one, another individual who was supposed to be a leader, has pilfered, and we think that that money ought not to be sort of, you know, used by an individual, that's meant for all the political groups, etc. And the Saudi foreign minister told them that, well, he is our man. In other words, he said, it's okay if he takes $146 million, that's okay, let him do so. So yes. There is a lot of corruption in the opposition political circles, and it's been one big racket in which these people sort of keep on popping up. Yes. Because they know that there is a lot of money to be made, and they are basically mercenaries. They are willing to sell their souls to the highest bidder. Yeah. So whosoever comes along and pays them the money, they are willing to do their bidding. So whether it's Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, or whatever, wherever the money is coming from, they are willing to do their bidding. And so we are not surprised that there is so much corruption there. And that's why we find that they are willing to work with the U.S., take whatever they can from them, and take the money and run with it.
And incidentally, the last president that everybody thinks that they missed so much, Mr. Obama, when the United States Congress finally did pass legislation saying that American citizens who lost loved ones' property in 9/11 could bring legal action against Saudi Arabia because so many Saudi nationals were involved, apparently, he tried to veto it.
Yes.
used his veto to prevent Americans.
Congress was able to override it within a day, and so that has now become law. It's a law in the United States, much to the chagrin of the Saudi regime, because they protested against it. They lobbied very hard. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars on congressmen and lobbyists, etc., but they did not succeed. And so there is, it's a good point that you raise, because Saudi Arabia has apparently $750 billion in the U.S. in various sort of, they have invested that money. Mm. And I think the clear implication of this congressional bill as compensation for victims of 9/11 is that the U.S. does not intend to return the $750 billion that the Saudis have invested in the United States.
Yes.
Even if, let's say, the Saudis were successful in challenging that in court, the court cases will take years, if not decades.
Yes. Saudi Arabia would have to go and ask Iran, what happens when they freeze your money? And the answer is, they keep it. Zafar Benkash, crescent-online.net. It's a brilliant site. People, please go there. We're very grateful. Thank you very, very much,
Zafar. It's my great pleasure, Phil. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Zafar Benkash, Taylor Report, CAT 9.5 FM. And I want to say something about false news because, of course, we're opposed to it. All we do here is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me, whoever. It bothers me that people are using the story of Trump and false news. And by the way, it's Hillary and Obama who started beating the drum that we can't have false news. And then the other thing that everyone's talking about is the question of refugees and attitude towards foreigners. And it's being treated as though somehow we have a new situation. But the United States was founded with that argument practically going on. And, Phil, you know the words, Alien and Sedition Act and,
yes,
and the Logan Act. Yes. All of it had to do with the founding of the United States in early years. Once Washington stepped down, unity and the place came apart. And a fight broke out between Jefferson pro-French parts, the Democrats, and the Federalist, Mr. Hamilton. So when the Federalists got power in 1798, they went for legislation.
96, yeah. They
brought the legislation in 98, 2 years later. What the legislation said was that there the Federalists had the executive and the Congress. And so they then said aliens who are illegally in the country— and we will tell you who an illegal alien is. But anybody who speaks French, and particularly Irishmen, by the way. Irish did not speak French, but the Irish, by the way, are pro-French. But these people could be removed and would be. They gave executive power to the president to remove them. By the way, most of them fled. Thousands of people left in this battle between Jefferson and Hamilton. By the way, if you think you like Hamilton, and maybe it's only the music, because Hamilton was in favor of arresting aliens, so-called. And his main target was a man named Gallatin, Albert Gallatin, who had been born in Switzerland. He was elected to the United States Senate by the people of Pennsylvania. And Hamilton and his friends said he can't take the seat. He's not an American. And by the way, he has a French accent. And so, because the leadership was gearing up to go to war on the side of Britain against France. And that's what actually unfolded. Now, false news. They also said sedition. Printing false and scurrilous stories about the executive, that is, the president of the United States, could lead to your arrest. And guess what? They arrested 10 newspaper editors, Jeffersonian liberals, who happened to be in favor of foreign bureaucrats being in a country. But false news was the crime, and men in America went to prison. In 1798, went to prison. They had their newspapers shut down by Mr. Hamilton and the Federalists. And it's not a new point. And that word false is right in the legislation. I invite you to read it. So grow up. This didn't happen because of Mr. Trump. When the big guys fight, the little people better look out because you're going to get stepped on. Because they will hit you with anything they can hit you with. So this is the Taylor Report. CIUT 89.5, and we're on site of Mr. Logan, too. We'll come to that next week. Thanks, Charlotte. We'll see you next week.